Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel lesson, which has been read for us, and the title, simple title, The Church, The Church Militant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved in the Lord, are you familiar with the Voice of the Martyrs? This is an organization that gives voice, tells the story of our brothers and sisters in the faith who are persecuted throughout the world. And several years ago, I read an article about a young boy, 4 years old, in a village of Africa, and an Islamic militant group had come in, wreaking havoc, set things on fire. In fact, there was this bonfire where they were just burning all sorts of things from the village. And this four-year-old boy was trying to get out of the way, and he was clutching his Bible story book. And one of these soldiers took the book from him and threw it into the fire. The boy was quite distraught. In fact, what he did is he found a stick and he went over to the fire and he was trying to pull it out. And so the soldier kicked him into the fire and then put his boot on him and held him there and left him there to die. Pastor, why are you playing the kid card? I debated on whether or not to share this story, and here's why I'm sharing it. That little boy knows something that we desperately need to know. We are at war. The stakes are eternal. And what that little boy knows is what we need to know. The one thing that we need most here on the earth is God's clear word about Jesus. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence and the violent seek to take it by force. And in the end, finally, our enemy isn't even the people. Our enemy is the evil one, the accuser, the devil, Satan himself. And Satan doesn't play fair. He cares nothing about the rules of engagement. He doesn't care about the Geneva Convention. He doesn't care how old you are. Martin Luther put it this way, when you're baptized, you now have a target, and you are in the devil's crosshairs. And so whether it's a little monk named Martin Luther who said, let's get back to God's word, it's very clear we are saved by grace alone, and he was told to shut up, his life was in danger, there's a case like that, or whether it's a four-year-old boy in a little village in Africa, we're at war. That's one of those things where I say it, and you say, yeah, I know. But let's just do a little bit of self-examination. So in other countries, in other places, the violent actively destroy, burn God's word. You notice here in the United States, the devil doesn't even have to burn God's word. We have 4, 5, 6, 10 Bibles in our homes gathering dust. And sometimes we read them, sometimes we don't. We were preparing for First Communion for three of our brothers and or brother and two sisters of ours here in this congregation. And I asked them, you know, why come to church? And one of them said, because God's word is there. 10-year-old girl knows that. And yet, how often have we thought about church in these terms? Well, it's kind of boring, say the same thing over and over again. What are we going to do to make it a little bit more interesting? We complain about the fact that we'll sit here in church and we'll check out. And what I find interesting is that we will talk about the service, we'll talk about all kinds of other issues, why the God's word didn't take, but we will not entertain the notion that maybe it's my fault, maybe it's my own heart that can't or won't receive God's word. Instead of praying, Lord, have mercy, we start pointing fingers. And we start judging how well the service was. I mean, we live in a society that we'll spend hours in the cold to get to Memorial Stadium and to watch a football game, but we just don't, you know, the divine service, what happens on Sunday morning, it's one of those things we can kind of give or take. If we miss it, we don't get too anxious. And if I haven't called your number yet, what about this? What about the fact that we live amongst people who don't know about Jesus, and yet we won't talk about Jesus because we don't want people to get offended? We don't want to. It's awkward. And I'm just wondering, what kind of soldier talks this way when they're in war? This isn't really interesting to me, or my weapon, God's word that is so powerful, I'm just going to sort of just leave it. I don't know. But I do know that this is my problem and this is your problem. And I don't say this simply to accuse you. I say this because I love you. And we need to pray, Lord, have mercy. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because the evil foe has sworn to work us woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. So what are we going to do? Are we going to beat our chests and say, Reformation. We're no longer under the tyranny of the Pope. We're not Roman Catholic, and I don't know, beat our chests and say, well, there's that. Are we going to, I don't know, is the answer a program? Is there some sort of gimmick that we need to look into? It kind of feels like bringing a knife to a gunfight. Actually, it's more like bringing a knife to an airstrike. When we start thinking about, okay, by my reason or strength, here's how I'm going to deal with this. I'll give you an example that's been an issue, I think, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have this idea that we all know that there is a problem, that the church is graying and we seem to be losing the younger people. We know that in confirmation, people will be confirmed, and 70% of those who are confirmed do not come back to church. And so we think, though, that teaching our children maybe once or twice a week, bringing them to church and dropping them off to hear God's word is enough. We say things like, you have to be a certain age before you can receive communion. I mean, we'll let our children, our young children, see all kinds of adult content on TV and in movies, but then when it comes to the Lord's Supper, we say things like, they're just not ready yet. And it's not working. And we want to fix it, but we want everything to kind of just stay the same. So we can keep doing it the same, or we might try something different, and I'm just wondering, what are we going to do? Well, I'm glad you asked, because you know what's interesting about the Reformation? What happened during the time of the Reformation? Well, let me tell you about the problem. The problem was that over time, the church, by their own reason or strength, continued to add things to God's word for whatever reason. Apparently, the thought was God's word wasn't enough. It needed help. And so there were different teachings and things that were added to the church that obscured God's word. The Reformation happened because somebody like Martin Luther, and actually many other men and women of faith, actually rediscovered God's word. They didn't try something new. They actually just looked back to what God's plain word said. And they realized, with might of ours cannot be done. We can't defeat the devil. Soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. And you know his name, Jesus Christ. And so here's what happened during the time of the Reformation. People started to go back to God's word because God's word told them about their Savior, Jesus Christ. Rather than seeing the Christian life being this thing where you accrue merits and where you say so many Hail Marys or say so many Our Fathers and you somehow appease God, they realized, they went back to simple repentance, confession of sins, and forgiveness. They said, I'm a sinner, and they trusted that God's word of absolution was powerful and that it changed everything and that it made them free because it was the word of Jesus to them. They went back to prayer, knowing that Christ himself taught us to pray. And